This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent his other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? And they said to Jesus, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at harvest time." And Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the Scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds, because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Please be seated. I bet you thought that was an original opening line that Eric and I dreamed up, right? Right? Yeah, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You just read it in Psalm 19, by the way. I hope you noticed that. So last week I was gone. I hope you didn't miss me. I had this amazing trip with my husband to New York City. We left after church on Sunday and boogied on up there on a plane and had just the best time. And while I was there, I got to go on retreat with some Episcopal nuns. These nuns live at the Community of the Holy Spirit, which is called St. Hilda's. It's up on the northeast side of the park, way up, way up. I have to take a train. I was so proud of myself. I got there at 7 o'clock in the morning on the subway, which is just great. Now, I spent time with these nuns. I did morning prayer with them. I ate with them. And then I did something that's very hard for me to do, silence, a silent retreat for the rest of the day. I was quiet. Yeah, I know. It's hard to imagine, but I was quiet. And it was good because I got to sit there in the convent and reflect on the scripture that I needed to write this sermon on, the scripture of the wicked tenants. It was a time well spent. And when you're silent like that, you can really hear God talking to you and calming you. It was wonderful. Now, I also got to do several other things while I was there, and my favorite also was I got to see Wicked, the Broadway musical. I've been dreaming about seeing this musical for a long time. I think it's been out at least 11 years. It's been the number one show on Broadway. So Dwight and I went the last night there. And if you don't know what Wicked is, it is a prequel to The Wizard of Oz, a prequel, you know, like we put in the movies. We do these pre-Star Wars prequel. Well, this is what this was for Dorothy and Toto. Okay, now this prequel tells the story of the Good Witch and the Wicked Witch and how they came to be. So with those two experiences, I did spend some time reflecting on how many ways that we ourselves are wicked in this life. And it drummed up this memory that I had suppressed of some tenets of my own long ago. You see, about a decade ago, my husband and I bought this condominium in Jacksonville, Florida, close to our home where we live. We still own that condominium, and it's been a really good investment. It's cash flow positive, like you want your properties to be. We've had good tenants, right? And they pay on time most of the time, except for one couple. And I've renamed them Betsy and John for this sermon because you never know who's listening to these things online, right? And they do listen from Jacksonville. So along the way, we signed the lease, and this nice couple, what I thought was a nice couple, moved in. About a month later, I go over to take the plumber in to fix a minor leak. I open the door to the condominium and stare down, and there's this adorable black Cocker Spaniel, these big brown eyes and a cute little tail wagging at me. Problem was, the lease said no dogs allowed. So I called the tenant. I said, "Betsy, what's the story with the dog?" She said, "Oh, I found it on the side of the road and I just couldn't give it up. I thought it needed a home and figured you wouldn't mind." And, well, I said, "Okay." Graciously, I said, "Okay. As long as I don't get complaints about this dog barking and when you go to work in the middle of the day, the dog can stay." I said, "Perfect. No worries." About a month later, I get a call from the condo association, and you know what I immediately thought, right? It's that darn Cocker Spaniel. It's got to be that Cocker Spaniel. But the voice on the other end of the line said, "Ms. Babcock, we're getting complaints about your tenants. It seems that they are using other people's parking spaces." Great, great. So I go over and check, and sure enough, there are four cars meant for two spaces. So I call the tenant again. I said, "John," this time, "John, you know, you've only got two spaces per the lease. It says two cars, two spaces. That's it." "Oh," he said, "well, you know, that's just my daughter and her boyfriend. They come to dinner a lot." Now, I believed him at the time. I shouldn't have. Yes, I am naive, but I did. I wanted to believe them. I said, "Okay, great. So you've got two slots, so please tell your dinner guests to use the parking, the guest parking on the other side of the building." They said, "Oh, yes, absolutely, we will." Crisis averted, I thought. A couple of months pass by, and I go over to let the air conditioning guy in. And, of course, every time I go in, I notify them 24 hours in advance like I'm supposed to, right? Well, I go over to meet the air conditioning guy. I open up, walk in. The dog's still there. But, obviously, the daughter has also moved in to the second bedroom. She wasn't just there for dinner, it turns out. When I confronted Betsy about this, she said, "Well, we thought you wouldn't mind. I mean, you were so gracious about the dog and gracious about those parking spaces that we just thought the daughter would be okay in the second bedroom. Besides, she's only here for a couple of months and until she finishes this semester at college, and then she'll get her own apartment again." And against my better judgment, I was gracious once again. "That'll be fine," I said. Because the truth be told, I hate to evict tenants. It takes money. It takes time. It takes a lawyer often. So I said, "Okay, well, I guess they'll go away eventually if I just put up with this." But now, you know, these tenants are not like the ones in Jesus' parable for today. They're not bloodthirsty. They're not trying to steal somebody's inheritance, right? But they did break the lease. They broke it multiple times. When they broke it, they broke a bond between the landlord, me, and the tenant. And they violated all the great commandments found in good leases, like thou shalt not have a dog, or you may not add more people to the unit than is allowed, right? Now, this story, obviously, you know where I'm going, because it can't end on a good note, can it? No, and it doesn't. Because a few days after the discovery of that extra tenant, I got a phone call from the unit downstairs, my neighbors below us. She said, "I saw a truck outside yesterday, a moving truck, so you may want to go see if your tenants are still there." So I drive on over, open the front door, and there's no dog, there's no furniture, there's no tenants. They weren't there. And they'd left in the middle of the night without paying that much rent. Therefore, breaking yet another commandment of all good leases, thou shalt not abandon the property. Well, I guess you could figure that they were done, or I was done with these tenants, but no, not quite yet. Because when I went to get the condo ready for the next set of tenants coming in that I'd found, I found that the bedrooms were painted a deep, dark red, the color of Cabernet Sauvignon, a red so deep that it took me three coats of primer and kills to get the red out of those rooms. My mother and I did that together. So one more covenant was broken. Thou shalt not paint. That was in the lease too, but obviously these people didn't care about their lease. Now, I will admit for the last few years that Dwight and I have been absentee landlords. Obviously, Jacksonville's over there and we're here with you in Pensacola. We're kind of absentee landlords like in the parable for today, but our tenants have been good. Like I said, they're not bloodthirsty. Since these two moved out, we've had good tenants, responsible, that have taken care of the unit for us. None of them has taken advantage of my graciousness or my goodwill, and they pay on time. But this story does have a point, which is more often than not, we, meaning all of us here, all of us act like the wicked tenants when it comes to our relationship with God. We treat the bond between landowner, which is God, and the tenants, us, as one that can be broken whenever we feel like it, whenever it's convenient for us. We do the same things with all the things that God entrusts to our care. We do it with our relationships, with God's good earth. We use these things and these people when it's to our advantage, not really caring that when we do that, we're breaking the lease. We're breaking the bond. Not caring one bit in that particular moment when we do it, that when we break the lease, that what God wants for each of us is a two-way relationship. A partner in this life bound by a good, valid lease. A lease that you can go and find and read for yourself in Exodus for today. The Ten Commandments. Now, the tenants in Matthew's parable, they not only represent us, but also the Jewish leaders at the time that Matthew was writing this for his particular audience in his church. And these leaders, these tenants, were entrusted with the care of the vineyard, he says. They are meant to protect everything in it, the earth, the people, the animals. But instead, the leaders of the temple abused the goodwill and graciousness of the landlord. And beat him, beat his agents up, kill his slaves. They also kill his son. And you know who that is, right? Can you see Matthew's genius here? Yes, he's saying to us that, look what happened to Jesus. Look what we did. He's saying we have a gracious God, so wake up. Because that God loves us no matter what. He provides everything that we need to prosper. But very often, we're not good tenants. We're not good stewards of what God gives us. And this, I believe, is Matthew's main point here. His main point in this parable is that we are wicked tenants at times. And he's asking each of us individually, what kind of tenants are you? Amen.